Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, let me begin by saying that I deeply regret the reason for this hearing. I find the conduct of a small group of long-term career employees described in the reports issued by the Inspector General's office inexcusable. I'm outraged that the public's trust has been abused. I'm outraged that the ethics laws have been violated. I'm dismayed that these activities could negatively reflect on the vast numbers of outstanding public servants at work in both MMS and in the Department of the Interior. I know that Assistant Secretary Steve Allred and MMS Director Randall Ruthie, both of whom are here with me today to respond to any technical questions, share these feelings. When I accepted the President's nomination to be the Secretary of the Interior, I made clear during both my confirmation hearing in May of 2006 and my first days at Interior that I expect the employees at the Department to conduct themselves in accordance with the highest standards of ethical behavior. You can therefore appreciate my disgust when I read the three reports released by the Department's Inspector General, Earl Devaney. The first focused on three employees in the Minerals Revenue Management Division of MMS who were found to have circumvented the laws regarding conflicts of interest, post-employment restrictions, and federal acquisition requirements. All three of these 20-year employees have left government service. Two have pled guilty to charges brought by the Department of Justice as a result of the investigations and await sentencing. The second report focused on the inappropriate and inexcusable behavior of one employee, the head of the MMS's Royalty in Kind program. The details of this report are profoundly disturbing. This employee left government service prior to completion of the Inspector General's investigation. The third report focuses on the improprieties of some employees in the RIK program between January of 2002 and July of 2006. Within hours of being informed by the Inspector General of specific names and his preliminary findings in December of 2006, the decision was made to transfer a number of these employees out of the RIK program. In the memo conveying the reports, the Inspector General affirmed my frustration with the length of time that it has taken to receive these investigative reports. I have regular meetings with the Inspector General. I appreciate his interest in good government. We share that. At these meetings over the past 2 years, we've discussed the necessity of awaiting completion of these reports before taking any disciplinary action. The Inspector General has assured me that he believes the behavior described in these reports no longer exists in these programs. When I received the reports, I took immediate action. Within hours of receiving the Inspector General's final reports, Assistant Secretary Allred and Director Luthie initiated procedures to determine appropriate disciplinary action. We will follow the letter of the law. All employees are long-term career employees and must be afforded due process. I can assure the committee that this process will be completed as swiftly as possible, and we will examine the full spectrum of disciplinary actions, including termination. Though these particular problems occurred in the past, I've also decided that the department should expand its ethics office by placing an attorney advisor in Denver, Colorado. This attorney advisor will provide oversight and technical assistance to the ethics counselors of the department's bureaus to ensure that each of the bureau's ethics programs is in compliance with all applicable ethics laws, executive orders, and regulations. Given the extensive departmental presence in the Denver area and the Rocky Mountain region, this individual will provide invaluable ethics support and program oversight. The Inspector General recommended four actions. We are undertaking all four actions. We've initiated appropriate administrative corrective actions. We've enhanced our ethics program and oversight capacity in Denver where the RIK program operates. We're crafting a code of conduct. We've implemented organizational changes. The Inspector General pointed out that the reporting hierarchy of the RIK program bypassed the Deputy Associate Director in Denver where the program is located. Instead, the RIK program management reported directly to the Associate Director for MRM in Washington, D.C., 1,500 miles away. MMS Director Luthie has changed this reporting structure. I'm committed to an ethical culture at the department. I hope that the Inspector General would agree that we have undertaken efforts to promote a culture of conscience throughout the department. In fact, at my first all-employee meeting on the second day of my tenure, I emphasized ethics compliance. I appointed a new designated agency ethics official, Melinda Lofton, who has decades of experience in government ethics. I also expanded the department's trained ethics staff and initiated implementation of a set of best practices compiled by the Office of Government Ethics at my request. In 2007, I was invited by Inspector General Devaney to address all the inspectors general at their annual meeting. I was also invited by Rick Cusick, Director of the Office of Government Ethics, to address 600 federal ethics officers at their annual meeting that same year. Through these actions, we're affirming a culture of conscience. We developed a DVD where I discuss ethics standards at the workplace for the employees. We've published an ethics guide for new employees. And just last week, the Office of Government Ethics recognized this new guide by awarding the department an Education and Communication Award. In March of 2007, I appointed a new independent subcommittee to the Royalty Policy Committee, the Subcommittee on Royalty Management, charging it to conduct a full and a candid assessment of the department's mineral revenue management system. The seven-member panel was co-chaired by former United States Senators Bob Kerry and Jake Garn. And very talented and knowledgeable people worked with this committee. I asked Senators Garn and Kerry to look at everything. They were given a free hand to scrutinize all key processes, from production accountability and royalty collections to audits, compliance, and enforcement. All issues were on the table for consideration. In January 2008, Senators Kerry and Garn gave me their report, which states that, quote, the subcommittee members unanimously agree that the MMS is the federal agency best suited to fulfill the stewardship responsibilities for federal and Indian leases, unquote. The report also identified a number of needed improvements to the program. We've begun implementation of many recommendations provided by the subcommittee. Though my entire leadership team and I are offended by the misconduct of these employees, the issue arises whether their actions should call into question the merits of the entire RIK program. Several studies of the RIK program indicate it is a valuable tool that can result in increased revenue, reduced administrative costs for MMS, reduced incidence of valuation disagreements, and earlier receipt of royalty revenues. Finally, Mr. Chairman, let me say something about the good that MMS employees are doing. With back-to-back hurricanes this season, members of an expanded MMS hurricane response team have worked nonstop since late August. Some of these individuals have lost or received major damage to their homes. Many left their families and homes in New Orleans, reporting to work in Houston in order to assist in restoring oil and gas production. I cannot help but feel a great sense of irony these past days as we have been dealing with the preparation for the impacts of the hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico. One hour I'm discussing huge storms, acts of nature passing through the Gulf and the heroic efforts by MMS, including meeting environmental and safety standards to deal with these storms. The next hour, I'm discussing an ethics storm, the result of ethics failures by a handful of employees. Both of these storms demand our attention. One shows the immense good that agency staff provide. One does not. I know, as I'm sure you do, Mr. Chairman, that the actions of those discussed in these reports are not indicative of the quality of employees within the MMS or the Department of the Interior as a whole, and I appreciated your comments that you made at the opening. The vast majority of MS employees are at their duty stations, doing excellent work every working hour of every day, and they deserve our commendation. I'm committed to ensuring that the department's employees carry out their activities with the utmost of integrity. You quoted, Mr. Chairman, and I would quote also the IG, who said 99.9% of DOI employees are hardworking, ethical, and well-intentioned, unquote. I share that view and trust that the actions of these few do not serve to tarnish the hard work by the vast majority of our employees and the ethical and diligent way in which they carry out their work. The abuse of the public trust in this instance is tragic. I assure you that we're taking swift and appropriate actions to restore this important trust. And again, Director Luthy, Assistant Secretary Allred are here with me to respond to questions as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.